Okay, good Erev Shabbos and good Chodesh to everybody. Strikes me that we've reached a point where we should start talking about Tisha B'Av. What I want to do is talk about the emotions behind Tisha B'Av, because I think it's so obvious to us that Tisha B'Av is a sad, you know, day in which we commemorate destruction. But I'll do it this way. Every Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, I feel, and I think I see it amongst other people, you know, like this feeling that it's coming to an end. And I always felt guilty because, you know, the base HaMikdash is being destroyed. It's not coming to an end. This is supposed to be the worst part. And yet, generally speaking, that's when people start to smile again and interact. And so what I want to claim today, based on a Rav idea, is that it's in fact what we're supposed to be doing. The halacha reflects this kind of lightness in the afternoon. Minhagim reflect this kind of lightness. And what we need to do is understand what's behind it.
Ali, sponsorship.
Oh, thank you, Henry. What we need to do is to understand what's behind it. And then a whole bunch of ideas will come into focus. But before we actually start looking at the sources, I want to thank Ken and Judy Goldman and their family for sponsoring today's shiur in commemorating the second yard site of Judy's mom, Faye Flax, Freda Bas Elio, whose yard site is on the 5th of Av. We thank them very much for the sponsorship. Okay, so let's start with an idea that most of us know. We've discussed it before. We'll just say it briefly, but it's the difference between what's called Avelut Chadasha and Avelut Yishana. Meaning, what's Avelut Chadasha? That's the type that we experience when we lose someone. And so there's the moment of death, which leaves you in what's called in halacha aninut, right? You're completely bereft, you're completely lost, you don't relate to God, you don't daven, you don't make brachas, you potter in all mitzvos aseis. You know, then there's the shiva, which is tragic, and you sit on the floor, and maybe it's the first 3 days of shiva, then there's the shloshim, then if it's your parents, it's yud bet chodesh. There's kind of like descending levels of avelut, which reflect our coming to terms with our loss. You know, anybody who Rachman Litzan has ever sat shiva knows that feeling. You know, it's really intense. Then, of course, in the natural course of events, it lightens up, and the halacha reflects that. Avelut yishana, of course, is the opposite. Right, you can't just feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, by snapping your fingers. It's not like somebody just died. It happened 2,000 years ago. So the Rav explained, you know, really very beautifully, and maybe it's the most famous Rav idea relating to the 3 weeks. It's all over the place, but it's true that it's the opposite, right? You start with the 3 weeks, which is a lesser level. The restrictions are much less. Of course, we live in a world where people love chumras, so we're starting to make the 3 weeks into something that it wasn't intended to be. But, you know, you start with the 3 weeks, then it becomes more severe in the 9 days, then it becomes more severe in Shavua Shechalbo, which maybe we'll talk about next week, may or may not exist this year. That's a major machlokas, right, because Tisha B'Av is nidchet to Sunday. You know, then there's the Suda Mafsekes. Then there's Tisha B'Av itself. And you would think that it would keep getting more and more severe till after Tisha B'Av. And then, okay, then we have certain minhagim of Asara, of the 10th of Av, which again, something we'll have to talk about maybe next week, how it works this year. But then it would start lessening. But in fact, as we're going to see, it's not really true. We all know that, for example, we sit on the floor Tisha B'Av night and Tisha B'Av morning, but Mincha time we get up and we wear tefillin in the afternoon. There is a sense in the afternoon that things are lessening, and we need to try to understand why. We need to try to understand why the Minhagim and the day of Tisha B'Av itself is slightly more complicated emotionally than we give it credit for. And again, I'm going to claim that what we do naturally, I just think when you come to Mincha and Shul on Tisha B'Av, people look happier than they do at Shacharis. And the question, you know, now again, I think naturally it's the feeling that it's almost over. We've been living through this, but there may be more to it. So let's start with the famous Gemara. I guess which one is the right one? Excellent. Okay, this is a Gemara on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph in Tainis, and it gives us the history. So says the Gemara, Bishiva on the 7th of Av, Nichnesu Nachrim Lahechal. Right, the bad guys entered the Beis Hamikdash. So again, it's just interesting to know, you know, the way we think about it, they got into the Beis Hamikdash on the 9th. Says the Gemara, no, they got into the Beis Hamikdash on the 7th. Va'achlo v'kilkulu bo shvi'i shmini. And they defiled the Beis Hamikdash on the 7th and on the 8th. U'tshi'i, and on the 9th, samuch l'chashecha, in the afternoon. Meaning exactly when we start to lighten up, that seems like it was the worst part. Because samuch l'chashecha mincha time on the 9th, v'hitzitu bo et ha'or. That's when they incinerated the Beis Hamikdash. That's when they lit it on fire. V'haya dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. And it lit, you know, and it burned all day. Shenemar oy lanu ki fana hayom ki natut solei erev. It was burning as the sun went down. V'hainu da'amu Rabbi Yochanan, this is why Rabbi Yochanan claimed, il malei hayisi ba'oto hador, if I were alive at that time during Churban Beis Hamikdash, when they determined the fast, lo kivativ ela ba'asiri, I would not have established Tisha B'Av on the 9th, I would have established Tisha B'Av on the 10th, thus, of course, requiring a different name. Mipnei sherubo shel heichal bo nisraf. He says, because if you ask historically, when was the Beis Hamikdash incinerated, the answer was on the 10th. So then why do we establish the fast on the 9th? V'rabbanan adchalta depuranasa adifa. Chacham say no. The beginning of the conflagration, if that's a word, right, when it was lit on fire, that's the key moment. Meaning that's really when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. It's true, it took a while. And, you know, we can discuss, and historians have discussed, you know, why did it burn even? It wasn't really made out of wood. Okay, but it took all that time to burn. So it strengthens the question we want to ask, which is, if it's only in the afternoon of the 9th that the Beis Hamikdash was lit on fire, shouldn't that be the high point of our Avelut, right? Instead of letting us get up off the floor, instead of us letting us do all these different things, instead of the lightening of the mood, shouldn't there be more gezeros? Like in the afternoon, things get even worse and get more severe than they do before then. But in fact, our minhag is otherwise. So it turns out, you know, the answer is out there. This is quoted as a Rav Soloveitchik idea, because he really explained it very beautifully. But it's not really his idea. He just knew the sources. Let's read a very famous medrash in Eicha Rabba on source number 2. Ksiv, the Perek in Tehillim starts, Mizmar la'asaf, right? A song to Asaf. Elokim ba'u goyim benacha latecha. Okay, that's a very sad Perek that describes, you know, the Gentiles entering the Beis Hamikdash and doing bad things to us. So asks the medrash, Lahava Kratzarch Lameimar Elabechi La Asaf. It should have said, instead of Mizmor La Asaf, which is a song, a crying to Asaf, Nahi La Asaf, a lamentation, Kina La Asaf, Uma Omer Mizmor La Asaf. Why all of a sudden does the Medrash talk about it being a song, as almost as if it was a happy moment? Says the Medrash, in a certain way it was. Ella. Mashal lemelech she'asa beit chupa livno. A king made a canopy, some kind of a small home, a cabin for his son. V'sida v'kida v'tzira v'yatza benoli tabudra. He beautified it very much, and his son, you know, went off the path and became disrespectful and became separated from his father. Miyad Allah hamelech lechupa v'kara et havila'ot v'shiber et hakanim. V'natal padgod shelo. I'm sorry, v'shiber takanim. So the king is furious. He goes to the cabin and he starts destroying it. He takes a sledgehammer and he starts breaking all the parts of it. V'natal padgod shelo ibuv shel kanim v'ayam izamer. And one of the palace members takes some kind of musical instrument and starts singing. Amrulo Hamelech hafach chupato shel bino va'at yoshevu mizamer. The king is in the midst of destroying the home of his son, and you're singing a song? Amar lohem mizamer ani. I am singing a song. You want to know why? Shehafach chupato shel bino v'lo shafach chamato al bino. Says the court member, I am singing. You want to know why? Because the king is destroying his son's home, but he's not destroying his son. Kach amru la asaf. That's why the mizmar is named that. Hakadosh baruch hu hirchiv heichal u'mikdash va'ata yoshevu mizamer. God is destroying the Beis HaMikdash and you're singing a song about it. Amar lahem, yep. Mizamer ani sheshafach hakadosh baruch hu chamato al ha'etzim v'al ha'avonim. I'm singing because God is basically spending his anger destroying a building of stone and wood. V'lo shafach chamato al Yisrael. But he's not destroying the Jewish people. Hadahu dichsiv vayatzet eish b'tzion vatochal yisodotel. That's the pasuk that a fire went out and destroyed the building, but not the Jewish people. And Tosos in Kiddush.
Ellie, we don't hear you.
Can people hear me now?
Yes.
All right. What was I up to?
Tosfos and Kedushin.
Okay. By the way, that was completely my fault. Like sometimes you don't know why it happened. I see the cable fell out of my laptop. All right, back. So, oh, wait, I gotta get this back. Okay. Thank you. Source number three. So Tosus asks the same question, quoting the Medrash, right? Why is it a Mizmar La'asaf? It should be a Kina. Rather, says Tosfos, no. It's a song because we are celebrating Al Shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chamato Al Ha'etzim V'Al Ha'avonim. God is spending his anger destroying a building made of wooden stones. U'mitoch kach, and because of that, Hotir Pleita Mi'Yisrael. He basically is saving the Jewish people. She'il Malekach, because if God did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, lo nishtayer misone Yisrael sarid v'palit. There would be no remnant left of the Jewish people. V'chein hu omer kilo Hashem el chamato v'yatzeit eish b'tzion. God spent his anger burning the Beis HaMikdash. Explains the Rav, although again, I don't know that you need the Rav for this, but that's where I saw it, so I'll say it in his name. In the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, 2,000 years ago, the future of the Jewish people was hanging in the balance. God had had enough, and God had a decision to make. God could have chosen to destroy the Jewish people, in which case there would be nothing left. The Beis HaMikdash didn't sin. We sinned. The Beis HaMikdash didn't deserve any punishment at all. And yet, in the moment that God chose to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, our future was assured. It wasn't clear that we were going to survive the day, but when God chose to take out his anger on the Beis HaMikdash and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, we were saved. It's counterintuitive, but at the moment of greatest pain, at the moment where you would think that our Avelut should reach its high point because the Beis HaMikdash is being set on fire, it's that moment that serves as the first moment of nechama, the first moment of consolation, when we realized that we were going to survive. It's completely paradoxical, but the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was an act of mercy. Okay, now we're not used to talking that way, and I'm sure maybe this is jarring to some of us because we think, you know, what's the worst tragedy in the world? The worst tragedy in the world is the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the answer is no, it's not. The worst tragedy in the world is the destruction of the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash is a symbol. But the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, and you know, I try hard not to pontificate too much in the Shir, but like the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash flows from us. If we have no Kedusha, then the Beis HaMikdash has no Kedusha. You know, nowadays we talk about Beis HaMikdash, we need the Beis HaMikdash, of course we need the Beis HaMikdash. But we need a lot of other things before that. And, you know, our focus on the Beis HaMikdash, it's obviously not mistaken. We're supposed to be focused on the Beis HaMikdash. But the moment that God chose to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was the moment we were saved. And without getting myself into trouble, you know, it's hard not to think of the Holocaust, where there was nothing else to destroy other than the Jewish people. I'm not, God forbid, saying, had there been a bit, I don't know any of these things. I'm not smart enough to know any of these things. But I know that there was no massacre when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. In fact, we weren't really exiled. There was an exile, but there was no wiping out of the Jewish people. We survived, and we started to reconstitute and recreate our lives and our religion. And so based on the Medrash and the Tosas, the Rav says very simply, the reason why the mood lightens in the afternoon is because paradoxically, once God destroys the Beis HaMikdash, we now understand that that's going to settle God's anger, and we, the Jewish people, are going to survive. And in fact, there's a Medrash. If you look in source number 4, the Pasuk says in Parshas Pekudei, the first Pasuk, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaYidut Asher Pukal Al Moshe, right? Pekudei means commandments, but it also means something else. The Medrash says right there, Va'alma kol elu al-yidei shenit mashkein al-yadeinu. Shenema eila pikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-idut. Pikudei means it was a pikadon. God gave us, you know, as collateral, his most valuable piece of property, the Beis HaMikdash. And God said, you know, if you keep the rules, and you obey me, and you build a society which I want you to build, then you get to keep it. And the moment that we violated that, the moment God had enough of our sins, he took it back. The Beit HaMikdash never really belonged to us. And when we sinned, God took it back. All this, to now turn to the halachos and the minhagim that seem to almost intuitively reflect this idea, that despite the fact that historically the Beis HaMikdash was burned in the afternoon of the 9th, our minhag and our halachos reflect almost the opposite, that somehow in the afternoon we experience a lessening of the avelut of the day. Okay, so first, just to make the point of the fact that our feelings on this day are slightly complex, Let's start from Erev Tisha B'Av. Look at source number 4.
Ellie, can I ask you a question before you go on?
Sure.
When you say that there was no gullus, but while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, we lost 10 Shvatim.
I didn't say there was no gullus. I said there was no massacre. There's a difference. The Jewish people survived.
But right? Didn't they say there was a tremendous bloodbath when the...
I don't know that part. You're right that in Shomron we lost 10 Shvatim. It's not, you know, it's hundreds of years before. It's not really connected to the Churban HaBayis. And, you know, it's one of these bizarre things. If you know, you could say, do we have like a real tradition that millions of people died?
I think they say that on the day of the Churban, there was a bloodbath in Yerushalayim. That there was blood flowing there.
Okay, listen. it was clearly not a bloodless thing. Right? What I'm saying is people stayed. It wasn't until they later on plowed over the city and renamed it Isla Capitolina. You know, the sense I get just in the history without getting too sidetracked is that, you know, Rome thought we could stay. Once they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we would become subservient. We'd become members of the empire, like happened, you know, in half the civilized world at that time. And it turns out they were wrong. But there wasn't a sense that, you know, Yerushalayim becomes Judenrein immediately. That was much later when they realized we weren't going to stop mourning the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Start in source number 5. The halacha is Ein Omrim Tchina Erev Tisha B'Av B'Mincha. You don't say Tachnun on Erev Tisha B'Av at Mincha Mishum De'ikri Moed. Because Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. A Moed, obviously, is a happy day. And so it's true, there's a pasuk in Eicha that calls it Kara Alai Moed, that calls it a Moed, but what's the substance to that? Why would anybody think that there's something to celebrate in the midst of the tragedy and the destruction of Tisha B'Av? So I'm suggesting perhaps one of the things would be that we survived. Right? Of course, the other thing is that it will, God willing, one day become a Moed. We really believe that. And that's the usual pshat. The usual pshat is that the four, you know, Tzoma Revi'i, Vitzoma Chamishi, Vitzoma Asi, Vitzoma Shvi'i, Vitzoma Asri, Yihiyu Lebeit Yisrael Sason Simcha, V'Amet V'Ashalom Ehabu. That's the pasuk in Zechariah. So usually the pshat is, well, we don't say Tachanun Tisha B'Av because one day it's going to be a holiday. All I'm suggesting is it might be that we don't say Tachanun Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, because we survived it. Now, again, the Beis HaMikdash didn't survive it. And I don't want to come across as sounding like, you know, we shouldn't be mourning the Beis HaMikdash. Of course we should. But there's a built-in nechama. There's a built-in nechama in the tragedy and in the avelut of Tisha B'Av. Okay, let's look at another one. Look at source number 6. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says not just on Erev Tisha B'Av, but similarly, Ein Omrim Tachanun V'lo Slichot B'Tisha B'Av. The Slichos thing is interesting, right? You ever notice how come we don't say Slichos? You don't notice it so much because you don't get out of shul because we have to say Kinos. But, you know, on every fast day we say Slichos, including Shivasa B'Tamuz. But we don't do that. Tisha B'Av is not a day of Slichos. And it's not really a big day of davening. Ve'ein noflim al pnehem. Why not? Mishum demikri moed. It's still somehow this idea of it being a moed. Now here's a second halacha that needs explanation. The Rama says, V'chol ha'kadeshim she'omrim achar eicha ad she'yotzim l'machar mi'beit ha'knesset ein omrim tiskabel. Whenever you say a Kaddish Shalem at Mariv or at Shachris of Tisha B'Av, right? It's a strange phrase. Ad she yotzim l'machami beit ha-knesset, till you leave shul following Shachris, you don't say Tiskabel. What's Tiskabel? Tiskabel, Sloson, Voson, the Chobei Yisrael, right? Accept our prayers. The answer is no. Tisha B'Av is not a day of prayer. And therefore, on Tisha B'Av, we don't say Tiskabel. So just to point out the obvious, great. If Tisha B'Av is not a day of prayer and it's not a day on which we say Tisha B'Av, so why do we say it at Mincha? So that's sort of source number one or example number one that shows that there's a change in the course of the day. We don't say Tisha B'Av and Mincha, all of a sudden we start to say Tisha B'Av. Why? Because at Mincha already, there's a sense that we can start praying again. At Mincha, there's a sense that the Jewish people are going to survive the day at the cost of the Beis HaMikdash, the biggest cost ever. But we're going to survive the day. And so there is a sense of Nechama at Mincha time that doesn't exist on other fast days. And that certainly doesn't exist on Tisha B'Av at night or in the morning. Similarly, one of the most interesting Minhagim we have on Tisha B'Av, and it's a minug, it's not a halacha. The Rambam says in source number 7, U'miktzad chachamim nohagim shelo lahaniach bo tfilin b'rosh. The Rambam says, there's a minhag amongst some not to wear tefillin shel rosh. So first of all, why tefillin shel rosh? So the answer is that tefillin shel rosh are thought of as being holier than tefillin shel yad, but more importantly, tefillin shel rosh are more public than tefillin shel yad. Right? The pasuk says pe'ercha chavush alecha. Tefillin shel rosh are a pe'er. They're an adornment. They're a beautiful thing. We cover our tefillin shel yad. We do not cover our tefillin shel rosh. Right? The minhag is to not put your, when you put your talus over your head, the minhag is to not cover your tefillin shel rosh because they're supposed to be seen. The pasuk says, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yara'u mimecha. Right? The people will see the shem Hashem nikra alecha. That's tefillin shel rosh. So the Rambam says Tisha B'Av is inconsistent with kind of, you know, the pe'er, the beauty, the confidence that comes from wearing tefillin shel rosh. Of course, that's not our minhag. What's our minhag? We all know it. The Shulchan Aruch says, source number 8, Nohagim shelo lahaniach tefillin b'tisha b'av shachris. Already here, again, the Rambam's thing was you don't wear tefillin shel rosh all day. You just wear tefillin shel yad. By the way, making it clear, as we've mentioned before and comes up often in the Rambam, they're two separate mitzvos. You could wear tefillin shel rosh without tefillin shel yad and the reverse. And the Rambam says that was the minhag. Okay, but that's not our minhag. The Mechaber says in source number 8, Tov Kuf Nun Hei, in Or HaChaim, Nohagim shelo lahaniach tefillin b'tisha b'av shacharit velo talit. That is our minhag. I've never seen anybody who wears tefillin or a talis in shachris. Ela lov shim talit katan tachat b'gadav velo bracha. Okay, you put on tzitzis in the morning. You don't make a bracha on the tzitzis. U'b'mincha manichim tzitzit u'tfilin u'varchim aleihem. But at mincha, you put on a talis, you put on tefillin, and you make a bracha. Now, if there's something about Tisha B'Av, if Tisha B'Av is this day of Avelut, and it's inconsistent, by the way, it's hard to not recognize the parallel to Yom Rishon of Avelus. Many people have a minhag not to wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva. And certainly if the first day of Shiva was also the day that the person actually passed away. Okay, there's this sense that tefillin is a special thing and it raises us up, and there are times in which it's inappropriate to wear tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch says that about the day. But of course, the question is, wait, if that's the din for the day, so why does it change at mincha? If I can't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av, great, so I won't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. What's different about mincha? So here the Mishneh Berurah clues us in that he thinks the same thing, the same idea that we've been discussing all along. Why do you wear tefillin at mincha? He says, Sha'az heitzitu esh ba-mikdash. Because that's exactly the moment in which they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire. Well, wait. If that's when they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, then certainly it would be inappropriate to wear tefillin. Says the Mishneh Berurah, exactly what we've said. V'tam avonecha, and our sins were kind of repaid or punished, b'mashe shafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu chamato bo'etzim uva'avonim. He quotes the Vilna Gaon and says, no, the exact point we've been saying, the worst moment of the day the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire, was also the moment of Nechama. It was the moment in which we realized again that we were going to survive. The Yesh Omrim, middle of the second line of the Mishneh Berurah, Kidei laharot nechama ba'avaleinu. No, we want somehow, there's a sense that you need some kind of consolation, even in your mourning. Bo bayom. So the first thing, he says two things. He says historically, right, the afternoon of Tisha B'Av is when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Aye, isn't that terrible? Of course it's terrible. But tam avonecha b'masha shafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it was good in the sense that God took his anger out on wood and stones. The second one is unkinesis. V'yei shomrim, another idea, kidei laharot nechama ba'avalenu. He hints at a point I want to mention in a few minutes, which is all avelut needs some form of nechama. It's too much to ask us to only mourn. Even within our mourning, and you know, for people who've sat Shiva, there are nice moments, there are warm moments, right? If you're supposed to think it this way, if you've lost somebody and you're supposed to feel terrible about it, why does the Torah mandate that people come visit us and try to make us feel better? So the Mishnah Berurah says there's no such thing as avelut in and of itself. That doesn't make sense. There needs to be, for there to be a full avelut, there needs to be some sense of nechama. Right? By the way, sometimes the nechama makes you feel worse. Sometimes it makes you feel better. But you know what? I'll move out of order. There's a strange halacha that I suppose we don't paskin like, because I've never seen it, and I don't think anybody else here has seen it. But it's probably based on a Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Look at source number 12. This is an amazing halacha. The Rambam says in Hilchas Avel, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet, Meis She'ein Lo Avelim Lehit Nachem. Right? Sometimes it happens. It happened in Efrat a few years ago. It was a person we knew. Nobody to sit Shiva. Right? No siblings, no children, never married. Sadly, right? Nobody to sit Shiva. It's tragic. What's the din, says the Rambam? But you're not going to believe this. Ba'im asara b'nei adam k'sherim, 10 good people come, v'yoshvim b'mikomo kol shivat yimei ha'avelut. They sit Shiva for him in his home for the whole week. Not just that, the charade continues. U'sha'ar ha'am mitkabsim alehen. And people come and are menachem these fake avelim. Let's say you don't have 10 people who could sit there all week. So 10 people sit down. Other people show up. You can have rotating groups. But it's an unbelievably bizarre halacha. It's fake Shiva. Right? There's nobody to sit Shiva. So these people come. They pretend that they're sitting Shiva. And then we visit them. We're Menachem Avel, people who are not Avelim. So it's hard. So first, you just know, the Ravid says, Ram, Ze ain lo shoresh. I don't know a source for this. There is a source. It doesn't matter. That's maybe in the end we pass like the Ravid and we don't do it. I know we don't do it. But what's the theory behind it? I think the theory is what we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah, that Avelut doesn't exist without some form of nechama. Why is that? It's hard to describe. But part of Avelut is consolation. Part of Avelut is to say that there's a Tselem Elokim. The world lost something. And that Tselem Elokim needs to be respected. And that Tselem Elokim needs to be comforted, I suppose. And it's, you know, it's a form of Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha.
We need recognized.
Okay, recognized. Good. And we as a community, right, for the Avelut to work, we as a community need to support the Avelim. Otherwise, it's not full Avelut. So you see that even in a regular Avelut, even just the Avelut that we experience all the time, without Nechama, it doesn't work. And so you go back to the Mishnah Berurah and the idea about tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah says, look, it's hard to have a day that's just all Avelut. We need to have some form of Nechama, and that comes at Mincha time, precisely when everything gets terrible. That's the precise moment when we realize we're going to survive, and that's when we put on tefillin. V'chol zehu l'kuli alma, back in the Mishnah Berurah, number 8, Rackling in tefillin, mishum to have a milsa to talibim in hagaba alma. He says, don't get carried away. This is just a din in tefillin because tefillin, the idea of not wearing tefillin in the morning is a minhag. Aval kol ha-chamisha inuyim ein mevatlin kol hayom. Right? Like classic Mishnah Berurah. Don't think, when I was a kid, people must know, right, there was the less religious kids all had this minhag that after you said aneinu at mencha, you could eat. Oh, because, you know, you sort of got there. So here the Mishnah Berurah is warning us. Don't think that because the avelut lightens up, because there's nechama in the afternoon, because you wear tefillin at mincha, that maybe the other inuyim go away. No, it's a full day. Okay, last Mishnah Berurah there. Hey, umvarchim alem, you have to make a bracha on your tefillin and on the talis. V'niresh, says the Mishnah Berurah, di'izaher shelo likro ata parshiot kriyat shema, v'chein parshat kadesh. Right, those are tefillin. Some people say those parshas when they put on tefillin. Dalo ka'et hu rakit korei batorah, v'talmud Torah asur kol hayom. Really interesting. The Mishnah Berurah says there's reason to say kriyat shema. You know, people like to say kriyat shema with tefillin on. The Mishnah Berurah says no, don't do that. Don't say all the usual parshios that you might say when you put on your tefillin, because remember it's Tisha B'Av, and if you're not obligated to say it, then it's Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah is also on Tisha B'Av. It's interesting. It strikes me, it started when I was younger, no one knew this halacha, but I think almost everybody says Kriya Shema when they put on their tefillin at Mincha. That's a Rav idea, right? The idea is you're not supposed to say Kriya Shema without your tefillin on, because it says, Ukshatam la'otal yadcha v'ayulutal tafot b'ninecha, and you're kimeid edus sheker ba'atzmo. It's like you're testifying falsely when you say, ah, we're supposed to put on tefillin, but you're not wearing tefillin. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that you need to say that parsha as a din in tefillin to fulfill your full obligation of wearing tefillin. You have to mention that you're wearing tefillin to fulfill the pasuk of Shartam lo'tal yadcha v'ayulutal tafot b'ninecha. It strikes me that that minhag has become more popular. You know, also, let's face it, saying Shema is not the greatest form of Talmud Torah. I think the minhag is also to say the Shir Shalyom at the beginning of Mincha. All of this is in, I think we have like the Rav Tisha B'Av thing, right next to the Nida, the Gemara, bottom shelf, to the right. Yeah, top thing. Yeah, that's it. Thanks. Sorry, I'm just pulling out my handy Kinos Misora Sarav to see what they have here for Mincha. Mincha starts. Okay, they have the Shir Shalyom. Right, they have putting on tefillin, they have Kaddish Likol B'Chol, they have all these things. They don't have Kriya Shema, but they have extra things. And then they have the Shir Shalyom. So isn't the Shir Shalyom, isn't that also Talmud Torah? Again, it strikes me that we're making more in the afternoon in that definition of Talmud Torah. Again, mostly because I think of the sense that some of the Avelut is lifting and the understanding that, you know, we, Klal Yisrael, are going to survive the day and live to see another day. Okay, next one. The saying of Nachem. Here's an interesting source number.
Nine.
Okay. B'tisha ba'av, Omer, this is the Shulchan Aruch, b'bonei Yerushalayim, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu at Avelei Tzion. Okay, v'aneinu b'shomea tefillah. Don't worry. If you didn't say it, you don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei. Haggad, the Rama says, the minag poshut she'ein omrim nachem rak bitfilat mincha shel tisha b'av. Says the Rama, the minag is, and that's our minag, to only say nachem at mincha. And again, why? And here you see the same idea. Lefi sha'az hitzitu bamikdash eish. Right? Bizarrely, because that's the worst moment of the day, Therefore, we say nachen. V'lachen mitpalim az al hanechama. It's bizarre. It's paradoxical. It's counterintuitive. But it's exactly what we said. Yes, in that moment. And you'll ask me, aye, but we only say aneinu in the afternoon. That's a different din. We only say aneinu in the afternoon because we're worried that if we all say it in the morning and we have to break our fasts, it's like we're liars. But already in the afternoon, we're more confident that we'll be able to fast the whole day. So we say aneinu at mincha. But nachem, we could have said in the morning. But we don't say nachem in the morning because, again, the morning is not a time for nechama. The afternoon is the time for nechama. Why is it the time for nechama? Because that's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So you could argue that the Ramah's not saying what I've been saying the whole time. The Ramah's saying, well, now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so we need nechama. But I think it's just as easy to say, now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and we're entitled to, we start to feel a sense of comfort, because we know that the Jewish people are going to survive the day. Okay. Inconsistent with what I just said, just to admit it, is Misha Achal B'Tishba, bottom line in 9, if you had to eat, and I guess you washed, Yomar Nachem B'Birkat HaMazon. You say Nachem during Birchas HaMazon, right? I think there's like, if you eat on Yom Kippur, where you say Yalav Yavo during benching. So maybe it's a special din in benching, but you do say Nachem during benching. Okay, that's Nachem. Now the obvious one, sitting on the floor. Here's the halacha, source number 10. Tav Kuf Nun Tes in Shulchan Aruch, Leil Tisha B'Av V'Yomo, night and day, Yoshvim B'Beit HaKneset, La'aretz, Yoshvim B'Beit HaKneset, I guess Ba La'aretz, Ad Tfilat Mincha. Strange, right? You sit on the floor at night, you sit on the floor in the morning, in the afternoon, when it gets worse, then you get up. He says the minhag has become once you finish shachris and kinos, then you can already get up and sit on chairs. I think our minhag is to wait till chatzos. And the good thing to do is to try to say kinos till not long before chatzot. So then you kind of get up off the floor. And then you can actually sit on chairs as you finish kinos, as the morning ends. Again, bizarre. Shouldn't the afternoon be more severe than the morning? The answer is no, for the reason that we've explained. Once the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire, there was like a kilo psaked in from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were going to survive. Therefore, we're entitled to some sense of nechama. And just to sort of to finish the progression of time, we have a further minhag, because as we've explained, the Beis HaMikdash was still burning on the 10th. So look at source 11. Here's Tav Kuf Nun Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. B'tisha ba'av le'eit erev, hitzitu esh beheichal, v'nisraf ad shkiyat hachama b'yom asiri. Right, that's the facts. That's what we saw in the Gemara in Tainus. It burned all day on the 10th. U'mipnei kach, Minhag kasher shalola achol basar v'shalol ishtot yain b'leil asiri v'yom asiri. Therefore, says the mechaber, it's a correct minhag not to drink wine and not to eat meat, neither on Motzei Tisha B'Av nor all day on the 10th. And Haggadah, the Ramah, comes with our minhag. V'yesh machmirim ad chatzot hayom v'lo yoter. Right, that's our minhag. That all of these things carry over until Chatzos on the 10th, but not beyond it, right? Most people on a regular year, again, everything is suspended this year. We'll talk about that next week, because again, the 10th is the day we're fasting this year. But in the regular year, people don't shave for the most part until Chatzos. Well, I guess people who go to work might. But music is something we refrain from until Chatzos, again, because there's a carryover period after Tisha B'Av. Okay? But the point within all of this, I think, is clear. It's what I said up front. All of these things reflect sort of this bizarre setup that we have, that dafka, the worst moment of the day, was when Klal Yisrael were saved. not to say that Tisha B'Av is a happy day. God willing, one day it will be, but not yet. But yet, there's supposed to be a feeling in the afternoon of we're going to make it. It's true, we lost the Beis HaMikdash and we're desperate to get it back, but we're going to make it. And, you know, not to say anything out of place, but the whole idea that the Beis HaMikdash is make it or break it for us, I think sometimes gets us into trouble. Right? Briskers like to say, it's not our job to bring the Mashiach. I know that's against the Beferish song from Chabad. We all want Mashiach. But the point is, it's our job to make the world a better place. It's our job to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's our job to make ourselves better Obdei Hashem. If the result of that is the bringing of Mashiach, that's fantastic. But that's out of our control, right? Our job is to be as good as we can. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to do is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to do. You know? Now, what I'm saying seems like it's a little against the Gemara. And I want to end with an idea. I think I've said it before, but it's an idea that I love. And it ties in very much to the theme we've been discussing today. The Gemara says in source number 13, it's that same Gemara in Tainus, Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roe b'simchata. Anybody who mourns the destruction of Jerusalem merits to see its joy. V'she'eino mit abel al Yerushalayim eino roe b'simchata. But if you don't mourn Jerusalem, then you don't get to see it in its glory. All the Achronim point out the following. The tense is wrong in the Gemara. It should say, Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim, yizkeh v'yir'eh b'simchata. If you properly mourn Jerusalem, you will, God willing, one day be zochet to see it rebuilt and to see it in its joy. How could it say in the present tense, Kol hamit abel Yerushalayim, zochet in this moment? So a bunch of Achronim say, I don't remember whose name I heard it at first. It's quoted in the Sefer Higyoni Halacha. It's a wonderful Sefer by Rav Mirsky. The Pasuk says about the first, well, there's plenty of mourning. I mean, Avraham Avinu mourns Sarah, Yitzchak mourns Rivka, Yitzchak mourns Sarah more, his mother. But then there's Yaakov, who loses his son, Yosef. And the Pasuk says in source number 14, Vayikra Yaakov Simlotav, right? He's an Avel. He tears his garment, Vayasem Sakra Masnav. He wears, you know, clothing of Avelim. Vayit Abel al Bino Yamim Rabim. And he mourns his son for a long, long time. And the children see it. And I suppose they feel bad because they're lying. But they also feel bad for what's going on. Vayakumu kol banav v'chol banotav l'nachamo. His children get up to console him. He refuses to be consoled. Vayomer, ki ered el bini avel sha'ola. I will die mourning my son, vayefk oto aviv. And Yaakov, the father, cries over Yosef, the son. It's really as sad a pasuk as there is. Here's a strange medrash. Hahu dirsiv, source number 15, the medrash in Vayeshev. Vayokumu kol b'nav v'chol b'notav l'nachamo. Vayima'en lehitnachem. Right, the pasuk that we just read, they all try to console him. He refuses consolation. Matrona shalat Rab Yossi. Strange medrash. A woman asked Rab Yossi, Amrlo, ksiv, the pasuk says, ki Yehuda gavar be'achiv, or be'echav. Yehuda was the greatest of the brothers. Uksiv, vayinachem Yehuda vayalal gozuz etzono. When Yehuda's wife died, he accepted consolation, and okay, we don't have to discuss the details of this consolation, but apparently, you know, he accepted consolation. Okay, so he says, and the Torah loves Yehuda, so apparently accepting consolation is the way of the world. V'zeh avihem shel kulam v'yima'en lehitnachem. And the Yaakov is the head of the Jewish people, right? We are B'nai Yisrael. And he refuses the halacha, he refuses to be consoled. Amar la, Rabbi Yossi answers the woman, mitnachamim al hametim ve'ein mitnachamim al achayim. We accept consolation for the dead, we do not accept consolation for the living. In other words, Yosef was still alive. So Yaakov Avinu refused to accept consolation, because why is he going to be consoled? He still dreams of seeing his son, right? The saddest thing ever, right? The tragedy of tragedies is when you're pretty sure that your son is dead, but you can't sit Shiva, right? Zach Bauman was my friend. For 34 years, his family couldn't sit Shiva because they didn't have his body and they held out hope against hope. That's a tragedy. So says the Medrash, you only accept consolation if you make your peace with the situation. What's the nimshal for us? So long as we don't make our peace with the facts, so long as we refuse to accept a world in which there's no Beis HaMikdash and we continue to mourn it, the mourning itself is a nechama. The mourning itself means that we believe we will live to see the Beit HaMikdash rebuilt. And the more we mourn, right, it's so irrational 2,000 years later. There's some famous story about this Polish intellectual who was in Paris in the 1800s, and he passed by a shul, and it was dark, and he heard crying, and he went in, and people were sitting on the floor, and he said, you know, what's up? And they explained to him the temple was destroyed, and he said, how long ago? And they said, you know, 1,700 years ago. And he said, he wrote in some famous piece, a people who mourn a temple that was destroyed 1,700 years before are destined to get their temple back and to get their land back, because they refuse to make peace with the facts. And that's pshat in the pasuk that we ended last Shabbos's haftorah, at least my haftorah. I'm not sure it was yours. Ko amar Hashem, kol birama nishma nihi b'chi tamarim rachem v'akal baneha. Right? Why is the Medrash say, why is Rachel the person who appeals to God and God listens to her? Because may ana lehi nachem al baneha ki enenu. She refuses to accept consolation over the loss of her children. Therefore, ko amar Hashem, mini'i kolech mi bechi veinach mi dima, stop crying, ki yesh sacha lifulatech ne'um Hashem, v'shavu me'eretz oyev, v'yesh tikva la'acharitech ne'um Hashem, v'shavu banim ligvulam. So long as we refuse, and it's a danger in Israel, because things are good. So long as we refuse to make our peace with the world without the Beis HaMikdash, but I want to be clear, it doesn't mean that we're relieved of all our obligations now. It certainly is not some kind of idea where when God drops the Beis HaMikdash from heaven, then, you know, we are obligated to fix it. But so long as we mourn on Tisha B'Av as if we're really missing something that we want to be part of our lives, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that mourning is a type of nechama. Right, in that morning, in our refusal to accept the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is the first step of Nechama. That morning allows us to feel like it will get better. And it's the case. It's funny, in Israel, there's always discussions about the role of Tisha B'Av nowadays. Big discussions, even amongst genuinely frum people, about the text of Nachem. Right, ha'ir ha'avela v'habzuya me'ein shomeim. The facts are otherwise. Right, the facts are otherwise. You go to Yerushalayim now. Rav Amital always used to tell us, do a beautiful idea. He says it's hard for us to miss the Beis HaMikdash. It's, you know, we never saw it. It's hard for us to understand and to dream of these great things. And he said, it's much easier to think of psukim that we can relate to. Od yeshvu zikeinim uzkeinot birchavot Yerushalayim, v'ish al mishanto, right? Yeladim v'yeladot misachakim birchavotel. He said, that you could see. That's something we can relate to. That part of the Nevuah already came true. Rav Amital used to tell us, when he came after the Holocaust to Israel, he said he used to walk to yeshiva, and there was a field in which kids would play. And he would stand at the edge of the field and stare at them. He said he hadn't seen kids playing in years. You know, he'd been in a camp. He said that he creeped the kids out and they ran away from him. And he regrets creeping them out. But he said, you know, we need to learn to appreciate when you come. And I tell myself this all the time. It doesn't always work. You know, when you're sitting in traffic in Yerushalayim, right? When you're in the old city and there's so many people and you think it'd be better if there weren't. That's the nevuah. If we're already seeing that, we're already seeing a part of the nechama. Yes, we want the Beis HaMikdash. Let's be clear, we're not going to get it the way things are working now. The fights at the Kotel, the whole thing is a big chilul Hashem, not for now. But we have obligations. And my feeling is, you know, if we keep our obligations and we refuse to make our peace with the status quo, that's the nechama, not just of Tisha B'Av afternoon, but of the entirety of the 3 weeks. Yashkach to everybody. Chodesh Tov. Have a great Shabbos. And next week we'll do, you know, specifics of Tisha B'Av when it's on the 10th and not the 9th. Halachos that are different, ideas that are different. There's plenty to talk about. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.